Anna Klumsky in My Girl. She was the cute little 10-year-old who lost her best friend, played by Macaulay Culkin. In 1998, Anna turned her back on showbiz and quit acting to study international relations at college and start a career in publishing with HarperCollins. Sounds like one of the roles to release. Anyway, for a while, it looks like she was going to be another one of those child stars who may have been famous as a cute kid, but as an adult, people would look her straight, you know, and say, think, you know, where do I know you from? However, in 2007, she returned to acting, and after various guest star roles in a bunch of TV shows, she ended up being cast in the hit comedy series Veep alongside Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And for the first time since My Girl and sequel, Anna Klumsky is full on famous again. Having basically thrown it all away, she's back there. But what have the other child stars, the big and small screens? I mean, where have some of our favourites ended? These faces that we knew so well as kids, what are they doing now as adults? Well, Rory John is the man behind the site showbizgeek.com, and he writes a regular Where Are They Now feature, so no better person to tell us about a selection of child stars all grown up. Rory, you're very welcome to the programme.
First of all,
tell us, how do you go about writing the Where Are You Now features? It's one thing if the person you're researching is still in showbiz, but how do you track down the ones who aren't? And I know that the reasons you would do it are tenfold, because people love this kind of, you know, reeling in the ears kind of stuff.
Well, people love it, especially with child stars, because I mean, they're captured at that moment of their youth, and usually child stars are in movies for kids, so they're usually a big part of our child, Mary Poppins or exactly. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, whatever. So people are always surprised when they find out these people have been living adult lives in parallel to our own. It's like when you see someone you haven't seen since primary school and you think, God, you've been alive this whole time and you've been doing your own thing this whole time. So yeah, as you say, some of them you can track down. There's a thing called IMDb, which lists all their movies, and if they're having a failing career, usually the last entry is CSI Miami. It's always CSI Miami. So if you're a jobbing actor, that's the death knell for the career. But there's ones, you know, in adverts, which I'll get onto, but you know, they're more obscure. They were never even listed as starring in it. And so I kind of go on to, you've got Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, which is the business Facebook, kind of the boring one. And I think what people are surprised about with loads of people you track down is that they just very much went back to normal lives. Of course you would. I mean, you get paid 200 quid or whatever when you're 6 years old. It's not really a life-changing event. But for us, they're captured forever in that moment.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's take a look at some of the stories that you've uncovered. I mean, let's start with the... By the way, if there's anybody out there who wants to know where a child star is, I'm not saying you know everything, Rory, but there's always the possibility. 51552 or at Dave Fanning Show. Let's take a look at some of the stories that you have. The academics, the ones who, like Anna Klumsky, we just mentioned, ended up going off to college and pursuing a more serious career, can I say that?
Yeah, why not?
who have you got?
Well, we'll start with Danny from The Shining, of course.
Red Rum.
Yes, with his little finger. Red Rum. Danny Lloyd was his real name. And actually, throughout the filming, the director, Stanley Kubrick, he gave the rest of the adult stars a very hard time. Shelley Duvall, he nearly gave her a breakdown during filming of The Shining. But with Danny Lloyd, the young child never knew he was in a horror. The whole filming, he had no idea what kind of movie they were making. But anyway, he wasn't particularly enamoured with the job at the same time. He gave up in 1982. He became a professor of biology, and now he's a teacher in Missouri. In kind of, you know, he's a small town kind of guy.
Yeah, and I mean, teaching. Was that his first movie? Because if it was, I mean, having Stanley Kubrick as your director, I think no wonder you give up afterwards.
It's a baptism of fire.
Take 796 of this.
Yeah.
There you go, Danny from The Shining, who's the tipster for the Grand National. Red
It does beg the question, what kind of movie did he think he was making if he didn't know that was a horror?
Well, he was allowed to go around his little tricycle or whatever to do on the floor. So, yeah, I don't know. But, okay, anybody else?
Yes, there's Winnie from The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years being the TV programme where Bryan Cranston wasn't in that. Was that the one Bryan Cranston?
Actually, there was a lot of people were in it, got their first jobs, but no, that was Malcolm in the Middle. No, this was The Wonder Years, was young Kevin. It was set in the 60s, made in the 80s, and it was a very nostalgic look at family life. And Winnie was the girl he lusted after for many years, Danica McKellar. Now, she still pops up in the odd things like The West Wing or Big Bang Theory, but she is a huge maths whiz. She studied mathematics in UCLA, published loads of best-selling books all about maths. maths, particularly trying to get girls interested in maths. And there was a rumour, by the way, this is one that people will always tell me, oh, did you know that Paul, the best friend from the Wonder Years, ended up being Marilyn Manson? I'm afraid it's not true. Paul is a corporate lawyer in New York. And the main lad, Fred Savage, he's a TV director and dad of three now.
Really? Okay. Anybody else?
Now, this is the big brains. Remember the remake of The Ring? There was a Japanese movies and they remade it.
Well, that's
in
the thing that jumped out of the telly. Gotcha.
That's the one.
Yeah, they went off the island at the end.
Yeah. There is a creepy little boy in that called Aiden, and he's played by David Dorfman. Now, just, I think, only a year or so after filming, after making the film, he went on to UCLA. He went on to university age 13, did a few years in UCLA. Then he's now in Harvard studying law age 21. And he's made a few movies called Zombie Roadkill, etc. But I think he's concentrating more on the law side.
Hold on a second. These are all success stories. Where's the stuff that people want? Oh, look, wasn't this life very tragic afterwards? I want a few of those. Well, for a second. I mean, it's hard to believe certain child stars are fully grown up at the age they are. And it makes all of us feel very old when we see them, etc. Right? So tell me something. You mentioned something about ads there. Who do we know?
Yeah. Now, this is one of my favourite ones I've tracked down because it was a tricky one as well. And I do like The Hunt. As creepy as that sounds, I do like a challenge. The Kellogg's cornflake ad that's still played here every year, the little girl, they leave out a bowl for Santa. And she comes
fantastic.
In and she goes, ho, yeah. ho, ho.
Yeah.
So I wonder, God, that's been running since I was a kid. How old is that girl now? Well, eventually, it was two girls, obviously, because they always use twins for these things. Alex and Holly Stapley. They're Canadian girls. What's most interesting about it is that the ad never ran outside of Ireland. So these two girls, this iconic ad, I can't believe they don't show it everywhere, but these two girls had no idea how famous they were. They just did it for a day.
Sorry, are you telling me this ad was made in Ireland or was only made for
Ireland? It was made in Canada for Ireland, it seems.
Really?
Yeah, and never shown anywhere else. So I tracked them down. One of the girls recently got married and the other girls is a sales rep for Nissan in Toronto. And I was chatting to them on Facebook and they just find it so bizarre because they've started to get more and more Irish interest since I had it on the site. And they said, we love it, it's great, but it's just
weird.
What
age are they now? 20 plus?
They're in their late 20s, almost 30
really?
Now. Yeah.
Well, okay, just in case for those who don't know, oh my God, I'm starting Christmas already, here goes. No, wait, I'm not going to give you that, I'll tell you what. Yeah, here it is, right. I mentioned Brian Thomas yesterday as a full Christmas thing with a Christmas tree already in there this week. That's the ho-ho-ho girl. And are they amazed that they're kind of like, you know...
They just find it bizarre.
Loved in Ireland.
Yeah, very localised. And they say they want to visit sometime.
No,
so.
Any more ads?
I don't have ads, but I've got ones that will surprise you at how old they are. The baby from Labyrinth. Remember Labyrinth, David Bowie?
I remember the movie Labyrinth. I wouldn't remember the baby, though. Yeah.
But it was a great, great portrayal. But he's now almost 30. His parents were actually the puppeteers on the movie. And that's how he got there. He was just on set anyway. So he now is a 30-year-old puppeteer working on things like Lord of the Rings and working with the Muppets, etc. Do you remember the Hansen brothers from the 90s?
Yeah.
Mbop.
Yeah, Mbop.
The little blonde that looked like everyone thought they were girls for the first song. Well, now the youngest one, the drummer, is a married dad of three. The middle one is a married dad of five. And the eldest one is a dad of three as well. So they've all grown up. And the boy...
Oh, just give it a blast.
Oh, yeah.
That's them. Go on, yeah.
That was enough. And you'll know, of course, the boy on U2's Boy cover, the album cover.
And The War.
And he was on the Best Of.
That's right,
They went back and used the old
Pete
shot.
Pete Rowan, yeah.
That's right, Pete Rowan. He was Googie's younger brother, I think. Yeah. And so he was used for that. But now he's grown up and has become a photographer himself. As a busy working photographer, apparently he was chatting to one fella at one of these photographer events and he said to the older fella, so what was your greatest shot? And your man said, I think it has to be U2's War album cover. And Peter said, that was me. So there he goes. Yeah, it all links up.
It all links up indeed. There's a few here, and if you can't answer them, are you ready at 5152? What happened to the guy from Flight of the Navigator? You're on your own here.
Oh, no.
Flight
of the Navigator, I think I tried to track down that one and I think he's gone reclusive.
All right,
a few of them.
Here's one here which I wouldn't have a clue of. Whatever happened to Marcia from the Brady Bunch? That's not fair if I start throwing all these at you.
No, Marcia from the remake of the 90s movie, she's now married to Ben Stiller. But the original Marcia, I don't know.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay, that's a bloody good answer. I'm sure you're right. What about the tragic stories then? Let's get to that. Some of the ones that haven't been as well publicised.
No, there was this famous Superman curse they've had about, you know, Christopher Reeve and Margot Kidder and everything. Now, Superman curse is very tragic for one person. The baby Superman from the original movie, held up by Marlon Brando before being sent off to Earth. That baby was a young British lad. He's called Lee Quigley. And sadly, he died aged just 14 from solvent abuse. And I thought it was an urban myth, but I looked into it and it's absolutely true.
Another hold on, what about these people here? Look.
No, no, I won't take your nasty medicine.
Do we have to, Mary Poppins?
People who get their feet wet must learn to take their medicine.
I don't want it. I'm not...
Lime cordial, delicious.
Strawberry,
Rum punch. Quite satisfactory.
Indeed, Mary Poppins. Well, what happened to those guys or those kids?
Well, that makes it even sadder now that you've played that. Well, no, Karen Dotrus, who played Jane there from Mary Poppins, she's still alive and well, and she's a mum of three. Not so happy news from Matthew Garber, who was young Michael in the movie. Well, he was over in India in 1976. He went on a trip as a young fella. He got hepatitis while over in India. And by the time he got back home to England, it wasn't treatable. So it had spread through his pancreas and he sadly died aged just 21. So that puts a different spin on the Mary Poppins story. There's ones such as Jonathan Brandis, who people might know from Stephen King's terrifying It, the TV movie, The Neverending Story 2, or Sequest DSV, which is a series during the 90s. Well, things dried up for him as he got older and sadly took his own life, age 27. And oddly enough, he went to the prom with Brittany Murphy, who's another child star.
They're making a TV series about her death or about her life and etc. And or about still, a TV programme, aren't they?
I can imagine, but it's still ongoing as to how she died, because it was very mysterious, mould in the house or something.
The boyfriend died in the same place about 2 or 3 months later or something, which is
very weird.
Okay, that's Jonathan Brandis, is that his name? Yeah,
that's the chap. Brian Bosnell's another one, who was the younger son in Family Ties. Now, he's kind of gone the way of Edward Furlong, a famous child star who fell off, you know, the Terminator 2 guy. Yeah. He's in and out of jail all the time, restraining orders all over the place.
And he was in that movie with Tommy Lee Jones and, what was it called? I don't know. And he was one of those. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
So this is chap kind of went the same way, Brian Bosnell. He was in Family Ties and he was Worf's son in Star Trek The Next Generation. If you're a geek like me, you'll know that one. Well, now he's been arrested 6 times. He was on the run from the law for an entire year. He got DUIs, he was assaulted his girlfriend, drug possession, etc., etc. He's still trying to sort his life out, but he is one of those tragic cases where you think, you know, maybe it was all too much too young, you know, for these child stars, and it kind of goes off the rails.
There's one here just about, I mentioned Marcia from the Brady Bunch, and maybe it's Marcy, I don't know, but I have a thing here. The real name is Maureen McCormack, and in her memoir, here's the story, surviving Marcia Brady and finding my true voice. She opens up about her battle with cocaine addiction, trading sex for drugs, 2 abortions, and a debauched night parting at the Playboy Mansion.
Sounds like quite a book.
That's one to add to that list that you have there. A few child stars who are now famous, and many people mightn't realise they were very early starters in showbiz.
Yeah, there's people you know you mightn't realise you've seen before. If people, fans of The Sopranos, will remember Jackie Jr. He dated Meadow for a while, and he was he wasn't a great gangster. He ended badly in the series. Anyway, he was played by Jason Sirborn, and he was the young child who was in the Suzanne Vega My Name Is Luca, I Live on the Second Floor. That was him, the same guy a few years later.
In the video, yeah.
The baby who gets baptised at the very end of Godfather Part 1 is a baby boy in the movie, but actually that was Sofia Coppola, the famous director.
Famous director, yeah.
Who herself kind of ruined Godfather Part 3, bless her. She wasn't an actress, but... She was
a funny thing about her. She made Lost in Translation, of course, didn't she? I think she did. Scarlett Johansson, I interviewed for that. But I'm only going to give you a little bit for here, because Scarlett Johansson, I also interviewed for The Horse Whisperers, I mentioned earlier on. She's all over the papers today because of a new movie this weekend. And she was about 13 or 14, I think, because she's the one. She's the one who fell off the horse in the Robert Redford movie. Anyway, I'll just give you a little bit of that interview from the past. Scarlett, how does a role like this come about for you? Is it just your agent rings you up, or is it just Robert Redford rings you up, or is it because Kristen Scott Thomas said, hey, we need her?
No, it doesn't work that way exactly. There were a lot of auditions and meetings and screenings and all kinds of audition, like the whole audition process.
Sure.
Very tiring. So yeah, that's how the part came about. At first, we just received the script and we loved it so much. I mean, meaning me and my mother.
Yeah.
My mother and I. But I could completely relate to the character.
Right.
I was in love with the character. I was in love with the story. So that helps too.
Had you read the book beforehand? I mean, the minute you heard about this, did you go and read the book?
No, I read the script first.
Yeah.
Then I read the book. But
yeah.
I actually read the book when we were filming. So it was getting very confusing, and I had to sort of stop myself.
Yeah, that might be a dangerous thing to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was very dangerous, so I sort of picked it up later.
Yeah.
But,
Okay, well, Kristen Scott Thomas was telling me that, like, when she realised it was going to be this thing with herself and Robert Redford, she went slightly weak at the knees. That's because she was around when, like, Butch Cassidy happened, or the Watergate movie happened, All the President's Men, or the one with Barbra Streisand, The Way We Were, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't. So you had less baggage to bring, if you like. Was it easy for you? This is just a guy, you know, this guy wears a cowboy hat and a horse in Montana. This is cool, I can do this.
No, I definitely admired his previous films.
Yeah.
I knew who he was. I mean, that wasn't the deal. So, I was familiar with his work, and of course, I was excited about it. I couldn't believe it myself, but I don't know if I went weak at the knees. No, I think that's a little bit too far.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anybody you would go weak at the knees for if you were suddenly offered a role to play alongside somebody, like, say, now, as we come into the year 2000?
Weak at the knees? I don't
know. Anybody you'd say, my God, I'd love to work with him or her?
I don't know. If you're hinting at Leonardo DiCaprio,
I'm not even hinting. It's amazing, like, in terms of, like, she sounds like Scarlett Johansson.
She does.
That's because she is. That's pretty weird. She's about 13 or 14 then, or maybe 12. I don't know what it was. Yeah, that's for The Horse Whisperer anyway, from a long time ago. And in fact, now that we're on it, and can go back to the past to one or two others that I've interviewed there, Lindsay Lohan was one too, and she was so nice with The Parent Trap.
Yeah.
We won't go into her life at the moment. Tell me about Haley Joel Osment. I mean, how big was he for a while?
I thought that was Haley Joel Osment, yeah, was in The Sixth Sense, of course, and then went on to AI, and then he just seemed to fall off the radar completely. But he actually just went
he's
to
the one I see dead people.
That's it. That's him. And he also he was Forrest Gump's son at the end of Forrest
that's
Gump.
Right.
That was him.
He was, yeah.
No, he went off, just kind of went off, studied and stuff, but he's actually coming back now. He was in a viral video this just recently. This artist in New York got his friends to slap each other, which got shared all over the world for some reason. He was in that, and he's in a new horror called Tusk, which it is, the trailer just came out recently. It looks absolutely horrific, about a mad scientist trying to make a man into a walrus. Anyway, he stars in that one, and you wouldn't recognise him. He's a big man, heavier, and he's got a beard and everything now.
Well, when I met him, he was a lovely little boy. I have no idea what age he was. This is for The Sixth Sense. I'll check it out now before. But anyway, here he goes. Haley Joel Osment on The Sixth Sense. Haley, before you came over to Europe to talk to people about the movie, you said, well, I'm really looking forward to coming to Europe. Are you sick of it already, are you?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to go to the other parts of London and to the other parts of Europe. I've done a lot of sightseeing the first day. We've saw the London Tower, Big Ben with our driver, Louis, who's a veteran at a sightseeing, so we hope to see more. So we might see a play tonight.
What would be more perfect? Would it be to have half your school friends with you as well at the same time?
Oh, that would be fun. I wish I had some of my friends here with me right now, see some of the sights, but I am bringing back home a videotape which we're shooting while we're here.
Oh, very good. Okay. Now, in the movie, in The Sixth Sense, you're haunted by dark secrets. What are these dark secrets?
It's, Cole has the ability of the supernatural. He has the ability to see dead people. And that's the ability that haunts him in everyday life. It's what brings the horrors and makes his life never have a happy moment.
Right, so therefore, is it like that you're too young to understand it and you're too terrified to tell anybody about it? You're kind of caught between the two.
The terror is just so extreme. He has it every day. And everybody's abandoned him already. They've thought of him as a freak and made fun of him the whole time.
Yeah.
The only one he has is his mother.
Yeah.
And he's terrified of what will happen if she finds out.
So that's why you're unable to tell her. She walks out of the room, 2 seconds later she comes back in, all the drawers are open.
Yes.
Now you know that's you, or you know that's something to do with whatever it is you are, whatever freak you just mentioned, whatever, but you can't tell your mother. When you're making the movie, are you told to have that look of frustration on you, that you'd rather cry than tell your mother the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And is it easy enough to do that?
It's become easier over the times I've done it. And during the Sixth Sense shooting, once I had been shooting with the character for a while, it became a little easier to hop into how he was in real life, how he could really just how things worked with him and how he thought.
There you are, a 10-year-old telling you about the method. Good man yourself. That's Haley Joel Osment. And of course, he was in AI as well with everybody, Brendan Gleeson in that as well. And you say Forrest Gump as the kid. That's right, I forgot about that bit. Yeah. There's a few more. That's Haley Joel Osment. That's the, what do you call it, the Sixth Sense. Is Walt from Lost up to anything? It's very unfair to be asking you all these things.
Do you know what? To be honest, I never got into Lost. I can't even visualise what Walter looks. Oh, I do know. He's the young boy who got kidnapped by the pirates. I know that much.
Oh, when he hands him over in the boat.
And yes, that's right. Walt. I know that he's still an actor and he's in his 20s now. But I'll try and get that on my side.
Lady Gaga is in The Sopranos for a few seconds scene where AJ wrecks the pool. That's from Danny in Cork. Mm-hmm. She was about 15 at the time. I didn't know that. Oh, here I have it. Malcolm Kelly is the guy, Walt from Lost, and he's in a band now. Really called MKTO.
MKTO.
You're learning something new every day. What about Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Now this is a nice one, I think. So the original movie we love, not that Tim Burton remake, the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You remember Charlie with the blonde hair and the polo neck. Peter Ostrom was his name, and he was very popular on set. All the girls on set fancied him, and he kissed both of them behind each other's backs, both the lead girls, Veruca Salt and the other one. But anyway, he was kind of, you know, they took an interest in him. He was great in that movie and he was a cute kid and all the studios were interested in him, but he turned down a 3-movie deal. He said he liked making the film, but he just wasn't into it. And he later became a vet and he now lives in a small town in New York State called Lowville. And what's interesting, he kept it so secret that he was dating his wife. They became engaged and she still didn't know that he had been Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Eventually his mother mentioned it to his fiance and that's how she found out about it. He just didn't like talking about
it. I'm sure there's nothing weird about that, but I think that's weird.
It is slightly strange. You'd think it'd come up in small, just to fill small talk on a date or something, but what's sweet about this guy anyway, he's a very happy vet with a huge moustache living in New York State, but every year he goes to the local primary school or their elementary school and as a special treat in the last day he'll answer questions about Willy Wonka for them.
That's lovely. That's a nice story. I was thinking of Stand By Me earlier on, the larger child in Stand By Me.
That's right. You remember, I think it's
River Phoenix.
River Phoenix, of course, was in there. Will Wheaton was in there, who went on to be in Star Trek and is now kind of a super internet beloved nerd. And the Corey Feldman did not. He's on reality TV shows. But the other guy, the larger kid, Vern, he is Jerry O'Connell, who you wouldn't recognise because he lost all the weight and he buffed up and he became famous for being in Scream 2 and being the boyfriend in the 90s series Slider. And he was in Jerry Maguire. He was the main football player in Jerry Maguire, completely unrecognisable as well.
What about Jonathan Lipnicki?
Jonathan Lipnicki.
He's the kid with the glasses.
That's
in Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. He's in his 20s now and he has buffed up as well. These small lads are trying to prove something. He's a huge, big, muscle-bound fella in his 20s.
Okay. What about Zuzu and It's a Wonderful Life at Master?
No. Okay, well, after the happiness of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Zuzu...
Time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
That's the one. The famous line from the end of the Christmas movie. She didn't have such a wonderful life, I'm afraid to tell you. Caroline Grimes is her name. Still alive today. But sadly, both her parents died by the time she was 15 and she had to live with relatives who, she says, were kind of not-so-religious fanatics. And she wasn't allowed to ever see the movie. She didn't see the movie It's a Wonderful Life until 1979 when she was married with her own children. She's had two husbands die on her, one with a hunting accident, and sadly one of her sons committed suicide as well, and she went broke in the recent recession. So
wow.
It's a Wonderful Life for Zuzu, not so much, I'm afraid.
Not so much. Okay, here's a blast to bring you right back to that.
That's right.
Wow, that's very sad. I didn't know you were going to tell me that. What about like the kid from The Omen?
Well, yeah, this from the classic
Damien.
The first Omen.
What's his name?
Harvey Spencer Stevens played Damien in the original movies. And
not John Moore's remake. This is the original one.
This
is it.
Yeah, right. the proper right, one right, from right. the 70s.
Right.
And so over the course of those movies, we saw him rise to power. And I think he ended up as the president of the USA. Not so much Harvey who played him. I'm afraid to say it's almost a mundane mundane life. Well, it's a decent, normal life. He's now a 43-year-old. He's a married property developer.
A property developer.
Yes.
So he hasn't changed.
And he's living in Kent, and he's a father of one. And that's what happened to the original Damien.
All right. So a lot of these people do what it is they do as kids and don't even bother thinking of the big screen after that in terms of, you know, doesn't matter.
And I have to say, those always seem to be the happiest ones. The ones who do it, kind of put it in a box and say, oh, that was a laugh. I'll talk about it at a convention here and there, but that's it. I'll go and do something else. I think the ones who, some of them hang on and they do very well. And Elijah Wood has proved himself as an adult star, etc. But there's ones who kind of hang on to the fame and it eats them alive. And they really should have moved on from it. I think it must be hard if you think about it. If everyone was saying to you, you were your greatest when you were 8 years old, what have you got to go on and prove in life? Everything's downhill from the age.
Actually, do you remember Elliot from E.T.?
That's right.
I saw him in a war movie not so long ago. I can't remember which one it was.
He's still a jobbing actor. He pops up in kind of bit parts in here and there, and he's kept busy. But he hasn't quite. He's not Leonardo DiCaprio's star,
like, but
he's
Foster,
good.
Who really was like 3 years of age and is still huge or whatever. All right, but listen, thanks a million, Rory, for dropping in to say hello to us. If you want to check out any more, and I'm sure you do, Showbiz Geek. Is that what it is?
That's showbizgeek.com. Yeah,
showbizgeek.com. All right, very good. Good man yourself, Rory. Thank you very much indeed. That is Rory John. Let's take a break.